In the book of Acts, chapter number 13, you're going to see the emphasis of being taken off of the church of Jerusalem and now being placed on the church of Antioch. And you're also going to see, instead of Peter being the main character, you're going to see Saul, whose name changes to Paul in this chapter, becoming the main character of what God uses to spread the gospel throughout the world. If you think of this phrase of being led or led by, there's a lot of different images that come up. You think about, you know, when someone is maybe walking a horse for a child, they can lead the horse. And sometimes people imagine, you know, being led, talking about maybe when you walk a dog or maybe when the dog walks you. I don't know if you've ever seen that before, when the dog seems like they're pulling the person. And you think about, sometimes people think being led by means that they're being dragged. You ever seen a parent trying to drag their child into the dentist? You should see my wife having to try to drag me into the dentist. I hate going to the dentist. You think about these things. You think of the poor husband that's being dragged from store to store to store at the shopping mall, especially when they have to carry the wife's purse. That's just a poor guy. That's just a shame. So this morning, what we're going to be talking about is being led by the Spirit. The Bible tells us in John chapter 16, verse 13, howbeit when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit of God is a wonderful, wonderful gift that God has given us. And we are able to be led and guided by the Holy Spirit. But unlike the dog that might drag you to a spot you don't want to go, or the wife that might take their husband to another store they really don't want to go to, or a child that has to go to the dentist, God's not going to drag you anywhere. God is going to, as you allow him, to lead and guide you into some amazing opportunities. Some of the places may be hard, some of the places may be difficult, but in the midst of the difficulty and pressure, his presence will be strong. This morning we're going to see a lot of interesting things in this passage of Scripture, but the overwhelming theme I want you to see is being led by the Spirit and the actions of these men that were led by the Spirit. It's important for us to see and understand that being led by the Spirit of God means that we are going to be able to do great things for Him. Just to remind you what happened at this church in Antioch. We go back to chapter number 11, and there was a couple of men that's unnamed, and that's the great thing about the Bible is they're servants of God all throughout the area of spreading the gospel, and we don't need to know their name. We don't need recognition. We're servants, and that's what we're supposed to be. They win, the Bible says, a great number to Christ. Church of Jerusalem hears about it. Jerusalem sends Barnabas to Antioch to try to see what was going on. He is pleased by what's going on. He encourages them. He preaches for them a little bit. And then he realizes there's a great need here. So he goes and gets Saul, brings Saul back. And they become, in a sense, the pastors, or at least the leadership of this church. Here in chapter number 13, verse number 1, we're in the church of Antioch. And we see that God has set apart Paul and Barnabas to be sent out of this church as missionaries. A lot of interesting things in this passage of Scripture. Let's go ahead and start in chapter 13, verse number 1. It says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucas of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. I want you to think about this group here, these different men that are in the leadership of the church here, the prophets and the teachers of the church. It tells us something about the church of Antioch. It was an international church. You have a whole mixture of different people here. First, you see Barnabas, who was known as the son of consolation because of his giving earlier in the book of Acts. He's from Cyprus. You see there's a black man named Simeon here that's from the present day Nigeria. You see this Lucius of Cyrene, and the one that, how did he hear about the gospel? We really don't know. The only people from Cyrene that we're aware of is the man who carried the cross for Jesus Christ. And then you see this interesting character, Manaen, who had been brought off of Herod the Tetrarch. Now, who was Herod the Tetrarch? He was the one that had John the Baptist's head cut off. And then you see Saul. The former Pharisee, the former one who used to persecute Christians. I love reading that verse, and I see what God can do in people's lives. There's a mixture of different people there from different backgrounds, different races, and a man who was growing up in a wicked household of Herod the Tetrarch, but still, by God's mercy and by God's grace, he was saved. Even though Saul used to persecute the Christians, we see him now as a trophy of grace of God. You come to chapter number 13, verse number 1, you see the leadership of this church, but you see the vision of the church also. Look what it says in verse number 2. As they ministered to the Lord, what an interesting thought there. Ministering to God. Often we're good at ministering to others, but ministering to the Lord. We'll come back to that in a second. And fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Paul, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Now God is calling them for a specific purpose. I believe God has a specific plan and purpose for all of us. And when they had fasted and prayed, so they heard God's call for their lives, the Holy Spirit says, separate them. They fast, and then they lay, it says, and prayed and laid their hands on them. Now, there was no special power that was given on by the laying of hands. This was just a sign that they realized that these men had been set apart, and they were praying for just showing them that they were sending them out, and they agreed with the commission that God had put them on their life. And they sent them away. Now, think about this. This is Paul. This is Barnabas and Saul. These are the leaders of the church. These are men that had been with them for a period of time and helped them. For them to go away would have been something that would have been a great trial for this church. Now, this phrase, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. And this is where we get our title, being led by the Holy Spirit. Being sent forth by the Holy Spirit. God is sending them. The Holy Spirit is sending them. And they head out on their first missionary journey, departed unto Cilicia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. Have that underlined in my Bible. It shows us how Saul, when he entered into cities, what did he do first? He went to the synagogues first. He tried to reach those that might be Jews first, and they had also John to be their minister. John was to their minister. John was a servant. This is John Mark. We learned about that before. And he was someone that was there to help Saul and Barnabas. Verse number 6, and when they had gone through the Isle of Pathos, now we don't hear of anybody getting saved at the first couple spots. No one ever said it was going to be easy. They found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. Which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul. It's kind of interesting. This man actually calls and asks Barnabas and Saul to come to him and desire to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. This man was a satanic opposition here. He's trying to turn Sergius away from the truth. Then Saul, who also is called Paul. You see here in this story, now Saul's name's changed to Paul. And I'm glad, because I keep on messing it up. You know, it's Saul to this point, but now it's Paul. I've been calling Paul from now on. That's great. Paul here, the name Saul means the called one. The name Paul means the little one, referring probably to his size, but also according to his stature, but also to his humility. Some people think he chose the name Paul because Sergius Paulus, after his first convert on the mission trip, but we don't really know why the Holy Spirit of God changes the name here, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. This is Paul once again teaching to Bar-Jesus, and said, O fool of all subtlety and of all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of righteousness, will thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. So this one that was trying to change Sergius's mind about accepting Christ, Paul looks at him and causes him to have blindness. Obviously, this is done by the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 12, then the deputy, when he saw that what was done, he saw what happened, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. So we see here that he's not just, he sees what's done, helps him believe, but what he's astonished about is the teaching of God's word. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John departing from them returned to Jerusalem. This morning I like to spend a little bit of time just looking at this thought, being led by the Holy Spirit of God. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. And Lord, I know there's so much in this passage of scripture we can bring out. But Lord, I pray you just guide my words. Lord, give me the words and the opportunity of things that you once said. Lord, I pray you work on the people's hearts. Show us, Lord, the importance of being led by the Holy Spirit of God. Show us the need that we have. And Lord, help us to act upon how you prompt our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. First thing I want you to see, and it will be on the screen that's behind you, is look at their service. Look at their service. Look at what it says in verse number 2, as they ministered to the Lord. I thought that was an interesting phrase. I thought, okay, we are really good at ministering to certain things, aren't we? We can minister to ourselves. Obviously, we can take good care of ourselves, but maybe ministering to our wives or our husbands or our family. But here's something kind of interesting. They said they ministered unto the Lord. I want us to understand something. When we serve here at the church, we're not serving as for the pastor. We're not serving for Mr. Paul. We're not serving even our class per se. We are trying to minister for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to please God with our lives. Please God with our ministry. And here when they're talking about they ministered to the Lord, the reference that they're making here is that they were doing it for God. We spend a lot of time doing ministry. Sometimes we spend a lot of time serving. Sometimes we spend a lot of time running around. But the question is, do we minister to the Lord? Do we take time that is needed to be able to spend time alone with God? It reminds me of the story of Mary and Martha. Most of us know that story. Martha was cumbered about doing many things and was trying to serve, trying to minister to a bunch of people. But they have Mary sitting over there at the feet of Jesus. And Martha tells Jesus, hey, bid my sister to come help me. And Jesus says, look, Mary has chosen that one thing, the important thing. And she was ministering in the idea. She was sitting at the feet of Jesus. She was worshiping the feet of Jesus. Mary had made a choice. Martha was worried and troubled about many things, but there was one thing that was needed, and that was what Mary chose to do. It involves being yielded. It involves being surrendered. It involves just saying that my work is for God. I challenge you as you go through some of these epistles, maybe in your Bible reading, you see what many of them says, a servant of Jesus Christ. That many times the apostles of the day said, the greatest accolade you could give me, the greatest title you could ever call me, the greatest compliment you could ever give is that he's a servant. Christian, this is one thing that we must learn to embrace. This is one thing we must understand. It's not about us. It's not about our position. It's not about our title. It's not about anything that we think is important. It's about being a servant, having a servant's heart for what God has us to do. We are supposed to be ministering to the Lord, but also ministering for the Lord. Man put it this way one time, worship and service go together and should never be separated. If we try to work for the Lord without worshiping him, we will settle for a legalistic, self-centered service. And if we worship and never work, we will end up with a form of godliness, but no power. Ministering to the Lord here is what they're referring to as they are fasting and they are praying. He said, but it says ministering to the Lord and fasting. Christian, I think this ministering to the Lord has two different contexts to it. Number one is our service for God. These men were leaders in this church and they were serving in this church and they were saying, while we were ministering for the Lord, while we were working for the Lord, while we were giving of ourselves for God, God spoke to me. But also while we were taking our time to pray and taking our time to fast and taking our time to seek after God, God spoke to us. Christian, why do you do what you do? I'm glad you're here this morning. I'm not going to try to run anybody off. We're thankful that you're here. But the reason why we should be here and the reason why we should serve is to worship the Lord, and because we want to minister to Him. This is our purpose. This is our plan. It's not to get recognition. It's not for a position. It's not to get lifted up ourselves. We're here to worship God. We are supposed to be servants of His. Nothing that is too a job that is too hard or a job that's too low. We're servants of Jesus Christ. And if we would learn to bow our knee in servitude to Him and His purpose, it will change our lives. At that point in time, we can then be led by the Spirit of God. When we realize that we are supposed to minister to the Lord and it's for God's purpose and God's reason why I do everything I do, whether it's clean a toilet or preach a message, whether it's paint a room or do the nursery work, whether it's interpreting or whether it's singing, whatever it is a privilege to serve the Lord. I'm ministering unto God. This is not my job. This is my ministry. This is a privilege. And that's how we're going to be led by the Holy Spirit of God. When we look at it as not ours, but His, we're serving. Next thing I want you to see is not only look at their service and the way they served because they ministered to the Lord. I want you to see they look at their sensitivity and seeking. Look at their sensitivity and seeking. I didn't know which word to choose, so I chose both of them. You see this word, and they fasted. You know, they not only was it that they were serving unto the Lord, they wanted to heighten their sense of their sensitivity. They wanted to be close to the Lord. They were willing to deny themselves of things that were normal, basic life needs. And they said, I'm going to set aside and I'm not going to maybe eat, or maybe I'm not going to drink, or I'm not going to do this pleasure, or I'm not going to do these things because I want to hear from God. I am looking. I'm interested in hearing from God. I need to hear from God. Once again, these are the leaders of a great church here. These are not people that are seeking and trying to get things right with God. They're not confessing sins. These are people that are serving the Lord already in a great church that's having a great impact and doing great things for God. And what are they doing? They are stopping and saying, I need to hear from Him. Nothing else is more important. My food is not as important. Water is not as important. These other things are not as important. I am stopping to do these things so I can hear from the Lord. They want to seek after God. They're searching from Him. They're already hearing from Him. They're already preaching. They're already teaching. They're already prophets. They're already serving God. But He said, no, that's not enough. I want to know Him more. I want to know Him better. I'm going to stop. I'm going to deny myself maybe food to heighten my spiritual awareness. I think in a day and time that we live in, I know some people fast and some people are seeking God and want to hear from God and want certain direction, certain leadership. You know, today, there's lots of things that we could fast on. I know that sometimes people take technology fast. Sometimes we're always multitasking. We always have things going around, and we're always worried about our cell phones or our tablets or our televisions or our radios. And sometimes people say, I'm going to shut all those things off so that way I can just make sure I hear from the Lord. And that's seeking after Him. That's their sensitivity. That's what they're doing. They're saying, I'm going to stop all this other stuff so I can stand still and listen to God because I need to hear from God. Now, see, a person that's led by the Holy Spirit, their service is going to be for the Lord, but they're also going to be someone who's seeking after God. They're going to be asking God, what is it you want me to do? They're not going to come to God and say, God, this is what I want to do. Is it okay with you? No, they're going to say, Lord, I need direction. I need leadership. I need help, and sometimes it means since I need to hear from you and it's so important, I'm going to stop and take a break and I'm not going to do anything else but just listen to you. And that's what these men were doing. They were seeking God. They were sensitive. They were searching for God. They were crucifying their flesh. They were putting it to death, and they were submitting to Christ. So that's the third thing I want you to see here is look at their submission and service. If you're going to be led by the Holy Spirit of God, first you're going to have the right type of service ministering, and then you're going to have to be sensitive to what God's trying to show you. But next you're going to have to be submissive. Look at their submission here. You see in chapter, verse number 2, it keeps on going. The Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted, once again, they wanted to make sure. They were praying for Barnabas and they were praying for Saul. And they wanted to seek after God's will. So they continue to pray. They continue to fast. It's not something you take lightly. And it says, and they laid hands on them, then sent them away. This idea of sending them away, according to the original text, is referring to how he actually released them. They actually released them from their duties and from their position. Now think about it. Barnabas and Saul, or Paul, whatever you want to call them, they were pillars of this church. It was like giving up your arm and your leg here of the ministry, and they were saying, okay, you can go. Most of us, we would be like, no, we can't let them go. There's a few people we'd like to see go, but no, not Barnabas, not Saul. They're doing such a great work. They're doing so many good things. They're helping us so much. But here we see as a picture and a model how you're supposed to train those and train up and then send them out. In our church ourselves, we've seen people over the years that were young people who are now serving on the mission field. And we've seen people who are young people now that are serving in churches and working, or married to people who are serving in churches and working. And, you know, they are submissive. Would we like to keep all the good people? Obviously we would. Would we like to keep those that God has called and set apart for a certain ministry? Yes. But that's not the way it works. See, many times, according to the Bible way of doing things, you help raise someone up and train someone up, you help mature them, and then you send them out. Oftentimes, churches may be eager to get rid of certain people, but the good ones they want to keep. This is how we should view our ministry. You know, when we saw Mr. Mark leave last year, we were sad to see him leave, but we're thankful for our time we had to invest. But we think of missionaries that were part of our church. We think of Jimmy Westbrook, and we think of Will Lyons. And we think, I know there's probably a long list of different people who are serving, and whether in a full-time capacity or even as lay people in churches, we have to be surrendered to that. We have to be submitted to that. We got to be praying for that. We got to be searching for that. See, if we're going to be led by the Holy Spirit, not only are we going to have to serve Him the right way, not only are we going to be seeking and asking and searching, we need to say, Lord, whatever it is that you want me to do, I'm going to be willing to do it. Even if it means giving up some of the best, even if it means giving up the cream of the crop, even if it means giving up the people who are serving. I know people all the time tell me, man, they see how much Andrew and Christian do around the church, and they're like, you're going to be sad when they're gone. I says, of course I'm going to be sad when they're gone. I says, but God's going to raise somebody else up to take that spot. And God's going to provide those people. And right now, we have young people who serve, and I'm going to be sad when I see them go. And it's not just Christian and Andrew, but I'm sad when I see anybody go that serves. But if it's God's will, and if God's plan and God's part, you know what? That's what I got to be submitted to. I got to be saying, if this is what the Holy Spirit of God wants, then who am I to say no? We got to let him go. And so this is the point here. If we want to be led by the Holy Spirit of God, we got to be willing to say, okay, Lord, if you want me to head that direction, if you want me to institute this in my family, if you want me to do this in the church, if you want, we have to be submissive to it. It's not always easy. You know, we're reading this passage of scripture and say, oh, that's good. Saul and Barnabas are going. But how many of us would be sad if God took away some of the choice servants of our church? There's people that should be rising up to do behind them. You keep on going here. I want you to see when you're being led by the Holy Spirit, your service needs to be right. You need to be seeking at the Lord. You need to be submissive to God, but there will be satanic opposition. If you continue on reading in verse number 4, they were sent forth by the Holy Spirit. In verse number 6, and when they had gone through Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus. Anytime you're being led by the Lord, you know what's going to happen? Opposition's going to happen. Problems are going to happen. Issues are going to happen. You see, in the first couple of places they were at, we don't see a result. Do we know if someone got saved or not? No, we don't know. There's no reason to speculate for that. But we also see here that when they came up to a person who was interested, a person, this Sergius Paulus, that actually was a deputy of the area, said, I want to hear what Barnabas and Saul have to say. Bring them to me. You know what happens? The devil says, I don't want that. There ain't no way we're going to let this man. And this man had a person who was with him that was a sorcerer. And the sad thing is that some of the great leaders of the world, they mess around with things of the occult. And they mess around with things that are satanic. And this man, Sergius Paulus, had this sorcerer that was a child of the devil, according to what Paul calls him. And you know what? He wanted to stop him. He was trying to persuade him, trying to go the other way. Christian, to be led by the Holy Spirit of God, you got to have the right type of heart for service. You got to be willing to seek after him and search for what he's trying to say. And you got to be submissive to what he tells you. But you're going to face opposition. You're going to face problems. You're going to face tough times. You're going to come across when things are not going right, when people are not acting the way they should, when hardships and heartaches come our ways. But what do? We trust that we're being led by the Holy Spirit of God. God's leading us in all this. Because God's leading us in all this, we're going to stay to the path. God had called Saul and Barnabas out. He had separated them out. They had sent them away, and they had continued on serving. We're going to continue on serving. He said, that's great for missionaries. That doesn't just work for missionaries. God desires for all of us to be led by His Spirit. God desires for all of us to follow after His pathway. God desires for all of us to view our lives as servants of Jesus Christ and our service, and that we need to hear from Him, and that we need to seek after Him, and that we need to submit to His will. But remember, satanic oppositions will come. There will be people who will stand up against you and stand in your way, and results in the boldness that God will give us. Now, I think it's interesting. You see the satanic opposition, but here's the one thing I want to encourage you with. The power that comes when we step out in obedience is enough power to take care of that satanic opposition. What happens in here? He's waiting on the power. No, he steps out, he's obedient, and God gives him exactly what he needs. Remember, obedience will result in opposition, but the Lord will meet us with power, or in power. The Lord will help us take care of these things. You see here, Saul is here, he stands here, and God gives him the ability to strike this man with blindness. God didn't leave them free. God says, here, we can help you through this. We can help you see through this. We can get you through this. If you're being led by the Holy Spirit of God, you know what's going to happen? God's going to see you through it. He's going to give you the power and the ability to be able to accomplish it, to be able to stop it, to be able to come over it, be able to deal with the opposition that's coming. He's led by the Holy Spirit of God. He is being sent because he had the right type of service, because he was seeking after God, because he was being submissive. And God helped him with this satanic opposition. The fifth thing I want you to see, and this is the last thing, I want you to look at their success. And I know I keep on using the word there. That's just showing you about a person being led by the Spirit. This is not just for Barnabas and Saul. This is for anyone who's being willing to be led by the Spirit of God. You see, the name is changed to Paul and Barnabas after this. It's interesting. It didn't say that Sergius Paulus was astonished at the miracle that took place. He was astonished by the doctrine that was being taught. But I want to show you their success in the fact that this man was interested. Maybe in the towns earlier, no one got saved. Maybe they were getting discouraged, I don't know. But Saul and Barnabas comes to this area and they begin teaching in the synagogue. Sergius Paulus hears, he says, I want to hear what those men have to say. And this man ends up, if you look at verse number 12, and then the deputy, when he saw that what was done, believed. He became a Christian. He, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord, he believed in Jesus Christ, and he became a Christian. That's what it's all about. You know, this is the purpose, the why we're here. We're called to follow after God. We're being led by the Spirit of God. If we have the right service, and if we're seeking after Him, and if we're willing to be submissive to Him, yes, we're going to face opposition. Yes, we're going to face hardships, but we're going to be successful. We're going to see fruit for our labors. We're going to see God working. We're going to see God moving. We're going to see God doing things in our lives and doing things in our churches. Say, Pastor, I don't see that very often. Are you being led by the Spirit? Are you really letting the Lord be God of your life? God be the Lord of your life? Are you saying, Lord, whatever it is that you say, whatever it is that you want, I'm willing to do? The answer is yes, Lord. I'm interested in this. What about if it means that you're a servant? What it means that you're being a little bit prideful, like we talked about last week, and you need to move down a few notches? What if it's talking about the being submissive and giving up something that maybe you don't want to give up? Maybe giving up the best just so that way you can hear from the Lord. Maybe what if it talks about fasting and seeking after him and turning off the TV or turning off the phones or turning off the tablets or whatever it is so we can hear from God. Are we willing to do that? Once again, I'm not trying to call for you to do something. I'm calling you to listen to God and listen to the Holy Spirit of God of what He wants you to do. Too many times we become selfish. Too many times it becomes about me. Too many times it comes about what I feel and how I consider things and the way I look at things and the way I think they should be done. Are we being led by the Holy Spirit when that happens? The answer is no most times. Look at the success here. Look what it says in verse number 12. Then the deputy, when? After the people and at the beginning of the chapter, after they were seeking God, after they were serving in the right way, after they were sent and they were submissive, after they dealt with the satanic opposition, then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed. After all these things, we see the success. The deputy is astonished by the doctrine. He probably said things like, you mean I can be forgiven? You mean I can be saved? You mean God became a man to die in my place? It's an astonishing message. It's the greatest story ever told. But are you being led by the Holy Spirit of God? Are you being led in a way that God can teach you and show you the things you need to know? Remember what it said at the beginning in John chapter 16, verse 13. How be it when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into anything you need to know and anything you need to do. You have to be submissive to Him. You have to be submissive to His will and to His leadership. Christian, you say, Pastor, you know, if God called me to be a missionary, I'd be there. God told me I was supposed to go pastor a church, I'd do it. You know what? It's so easy to say those things if God's not calling. You know what God's calling us to do right now? God's calling us to be faithful. God's saying, I want you to be faithful what I asked you to do. If God asks you to be a martyr, hey, you might say, I'd be the first one to die for the cause of Christ if it was necessary. God's not asking you to do that today. God's asking you to read your Bible. God's not asking you to maybe go to Africa. Maybe it's some of you. That's the case and great and wonderful. But you know what God's asking you kids to do? To obey your parents. He's asking you husbands to do? Love your wives. Wives, submit unto your husbands. What is He asking you to do? Be faithful to church. Be faithful as a soul winner. Be faithful in forgiving others and be faithful in this area and that area. This is being led by the Holy Spirit of God. Well, I don't feel... What does the Bible say? The Holy Spirit of God is not going to lead you away from the Bible. Be faithful in these areas. Minister to the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve Him with a heart and saying, whatever you want, Lord, I am willing to do. And as we seek after Him and search and maybe fast and heighten our sense of sensitivity, then we begin to be submissive. Yes, we're going to face opposition. Yes, there are going to be bar Jesuses all around this world that are going to try to stand up and say, you can't do that, or I'm going to distract this person. But you will have success as long as God is leading. If God is leading you and directing you, you will have His power to deal with that satanic opposition. Will it be easy? No. You see that at the end of verse number 13, and we might talk about it in a few weeks, John Mark left to go back home. It wasn't easy. They had to travel. They had to leave the comforts of home to go to a strange place that maybe none of them had ever been to preach a gospel that no one had ever heard. It wasn't easy, but they were submissive. Are you being led by the Spirit in your life? Are you letting Him be the one in control? I'm not talking about, I don't know if I want to go to Africa, or I don't know if I want to do this. No, I'm talking about the things you know. Being faithful and serving, having the right attitudes. Is that what you're doing first and foremost so you can be led? Christian, so often we miss the most important part, reaching others of Jesus Christ. Paul and Barnabas are going to head to a missionary journey where they're going to see amazing things happen. Why? Because the Spirit of God led them. Are we being sensitive to His Spirit and allowing Him to move us and make us to what He wants to be? Some of us have our hearts are so hard or so cold or have strongholds in our life that even if God Himself said something to us, we would not listen. The Spirit of God wants to speak to you. The amazing part of this, He says, separate Saul, Barnabas and Saul. How did he do it? I don't know. Back then, maybe he was speaking in an audible voice. Maybe he is speaking like he does to us through his word or through prayer or in that still small voice. I don't know, but I know God does speak to us. I know God has a plan for you, and God has a purpose for you, and God has a desire for you. Question is, are we going to be led by the Spirit of God? We can't be like that parent taking that kid and dragging him. You got to go to the dentist. You got to go to the doctor. Or that dog that drags us to the place after that animal they want to chase. No. God doesn't work that way. We have to be serving him with the right heart, and he'll lead us. We have to be sensitive. Sometimes we do need to set ourselves aside and say, I'm going to stop so I can make sure I'm following God in the right direction. But then we got to be submissive. Lord, if this is what you want, the answer is yes. Are you really being submissive to God? Let the Holy Spirit of God lead you and direct you in your life. Every area of your life, the Lord's interested in. Let's go ahead and stand to your feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation.